You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The new, refined, seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day. Don't change me out.
Don't change a thing for me. Sports Day WA, great to have your company. And let's have a weekend review. Look out for the sunrise. Enjoy local service. There's over 1,200 stores Australia-wide. Visit newsunrise.com.au. The sun set last night and WA were crowned Sheffield Shield champions for the third time, winning by something like 377 runs over Tasmania, who in both of their knocks failed to get to 200. It was a comprehensive win by the West Australians, three Sheffield Shields in a row. And I thought, thinking back, we've spoken a lot about the current Sheffield Shield team and the WA teams, and we've had Kate Harvey, who's the head of high performance at the WACA, featured on Sports Day WA. But I thought the person I'd like to speak to right now is the last captain of Western Australia that took us to three consecutive Sheffield Shield victories. And it started in the summer of 86-87, continued 87-88, and of course the third one was in 88-89. We're talking about Graham Wood, one of the legends of WA and Australian cricket, and he's been kind enough to spend a few moments with us. Woody, thanks for your time.
Yeah, that's great to be here, Peter.
Firstly, what do you think about the achievement of the modern-day WA cricket team?
Oh, it's just been outstanding, you know, to the fact that they've won not only the three Shields, but also the three one-day competitions. Three in a row in both competitions is outstanding. And, you know, WA had only done it once before in the Sheffield Shield. So, you know, the great thing with Western Australian cricket at the moment is got enormous depth. And when the international players aren't around, we've got certainly plenty of players to pick from, and also got a very good young players coming through the system also.
And that's the other thing, is that depth's so important when you lose test players. Like, you know, WA didn't have Marsh, they didn't have Cameron Green, and, you know, other states missed out on their test players as well. Depth is very, very important, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Shield now is very, very different, I suppose, from when we were playing, because invariably, when we played, the test players would play probably a minimum 7 or 8 games of Shield cricket out of the 10 each year, and were available for the final. So, you know, we didn't have, obviously, the Big Bash. We didn't have as many other competitions around the world and one-day cricket. So the Shield took on a greater focus for state cricket. There's no doubt about that.
Let's have a look at them because, as I said, you captained the three Sheffield Shield wins from 86 through to 89. And at your disposal, there was some star-studded cricketers, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, the great thing with our three in a row is the consistency, basically. Over the 3 years, we only played 16 players in the three finals. And basically the top six, or even throwing in the wicketkeeper, Timmy Zura, they played in all the games. So very, very consistent. We had some very talented and tremendous fast bowlers headed up by Chris Matthews. You know, Chris had 2 years there where he took 55 wickets in a season.
Mm.
You know, absolutely outstanding form and tremendous bowler. We had Terry Alderman, Bruce Reid, Peter Cates, Alan Mullally started. So yeah, we had a very good side, but I think having the consistency, in particular with the batting, you know, there was myself and Mike Valletta, Jeff Marsh, Wayne Andrews, Ken McLay, Tim Zura, played in all the games. So, yeah, it was very consistent.
Let's look at that second one, the middle one, which was incredible. You mentioned Chris Matthews. You took 8 for 101 in the first innings for WA. You played away. You played Queensland away. And Terry Alderman took a 6 for 91 in the second innings. You won by 5 wickets. And, of course, Graham Wood was batting at number 4 in these lineups, and you made 141. But specifically, that match had a lot of test players or former test players available, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a tremendous game, but sort of star-studded with both sides. Both sides having 8 test players each. You know, you look at Queensland, it was Kerr, Ritchie, Border, Ian Botham played from England, Trevor Holmes, Ian Healy, McDermott, Rackerman. You know, that's an amazing side to come up against. But I can recall the Sunday, you know, it was about 12,000 people at the game. You know, as I say, state cricket then, and Sheffield Shield in particular, was the main focus. Whereas there's many other competitions now which takes the focus off the Shield.
It's interesting, out of the 3 that you won, 2 were drawn because of the weight of runs that were scored in those matches, those 5-day matches, because you took the Shield because you finished top, which is a bit different to the way it is these days.
Yeah, definitely different to what it is these days. If you finish top and played the 5 days out, the team that finished top won the Shield. And there were some very big scores. Mike Valletta in particular in the first game made 262, which was a magnificent effort of concentration and fitness. Tom Moody in the third one made a double 150, which is an outstanding effort. So, but yeah, the one that really sticks in my memory is the one in the middle against Queensland, and you know, because there were so many test players participating, it was just a tremendous game of cricket.
It was. Graham, can I take you back, because you didn't burst into the scene, but as a young man growing up, you would have remembered the 1970s, and WA during the 1970s won 5 Shields in 7 seasons in that decade. And as I said, it's before you broke in. Do you have a recollection of that decade and how dominant WA was?
Oh, absolutely. I was probably 17, 18 when the likes of, you know, Marsh and Lilly and Hughes and Inverurity were playing and winning those Shields. And then I was fortunate enough to get into the team in the 77, 78 season. And again, we won the Shield then. And we had a recent catch-up where, a reunion where we celebrated the fact that, yeah, we won those 5 Shields in 7 or 8 seasons.
So how do you compare the team that you captained for 3 Sheffield Shields and the one that you witnessed and eventually broke into in the 1970s? Or is it very difficult to compare?
Yeah, it is difficult. You know, it depends on the stage of certain people's career. It would be very hard not to say anyone with Dennis Lilly in the team wasn't the best team going around.
Yeah.
You know, he's been the best West Australian cricketer by a country mile. So, you know, it is very, very hard and difficult to try and compare eras. I think very good players or good players will be good players in any era. And, you know, we had a tremendous side. They had a great side in the early 70s. And, you know, they've got a good side now, as I say, with tremendous backup potential.
And then we had, of course, that huge drought when WA, I think, won the Shield in the late 1990s, and it didn't come to pass until 3 summers ago. And, of course, you've been involved in cricket both on the board and the CEO of the WACA. There were times where things were challenging for WA cricket, weren't there?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, as you say, I think Tom Moody led the WA team to 2 Shields in a row in the late 90s. And then, as you say, there was a drought of 23 years, and yeah, it was tough, very, very tough. But the other thing that I remember from that, you know, the teams of the 80s is that, you know, you talk about the strength of the Australian side and WA participants. Well, we had 7 of the 11 representatives in a test match here against Pakistan and then against the West Indies in Melbourne and won both tests. You know, I don't know if people sort of remember that fact, but, you know, I opened with Laird, and there was Kim Hughes, Rod Marsh, Bruce Yardley, Lilly and Alderman. in the 11, and you don't reckon that didn't get up the nose of some of the people in the
I recall that. I recall that fondly, and of course we often promote that. That was just quite incredible. We talk about the New South Wales dominance, and I remember Greg Ritchie made a comment just recently. He says, when they actually give a New South Wales debutante a blue cap, they might as well give him a green one as well, because there's been a bit of bias.
But, yeah, that was a great era for West Australian cricket. You know, to have 7 out of the 11 was just unbelievable.
Yeah. So, Graham, just a couple of final questions. It's been really great to reflect on what was an incredible period. But do you sometimes look back and think of the cricket that you played? And, of course, it was such an elite competition to what it is now, and the mixture and the different formats with the T20 and the one-day internationals and the one day is, of course, the Marsh Cup, and we've won that 3 in a row. And the profile now where Sheffield Shield cricket sits, is there a fix in any way, or we've now succumbed to the big money short form of the game?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right, Pete. And, you know, it's sad from my perspective. That's what was so good last year, to see the interest in Australia with the Ashes series, you know, when Australia went over and won the Ashes in England. It was just tremendous from my perspective to see all the interest, people talking about it. You know, the East Coast staying up late watching the games. And, you know, I hope for next year, I know there's a big hiatus from Test cricket now, but next year when the Indians come here and then the following year the Ashes again, that, you know, the red ball cricket certainly stays on the radar. And, you know, it's just so important for Australian cricket to maintain a real compact Sheffield Shield competition, because that's where the good young players want to play against the best players and go on and get Australian honours.
And Graham Wood, before we let you go, I know you're a very talented Australian rules footballer. You played for East Fremantle, you gave up playing footy to concentrate on cricket, and that certainly was the right move for you. Do you still follow Aussie rules? And if so, which club do you follow? Do you follow Freo?
Well, I definitely followed the Waffle last year, mate, because the Sharks won.
Yes!
So that was number 30. Yeah, definitely an AFL supporter. As a kid growing up, I was a Collingwood supporter, but once the Dockers got into the system, certainly become a purple tragic. And it's been nice to see the start of the season, and let's hope they can kick on.
Yeah, good on you, Graham Wood. Thanks for joining us, and life treating you well for people listening in, because we haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, very good, mate. Yep, enjoying it. You know, grandkids now, different world and different time, but thoroughly enjoying it.
Any of the grandkids left-handed batsmen?
No, not yet. Our little Tommy's only 2.5, but he looks pretty big. He may be a bit quick, I think. Let's hope so.
Good on you, Graham. Lovely to chat to you. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Peter.
Outstanding leader, he really was, and a great individual, very talented sports person, played on the wing for East Fremantle, and they thought he could have certainly made it to be a very good footballer at then Waffle level, but as we found out, an incredible cricketer. Grew up in Hilton Park, Graham Wood, and guess who his next-door neighbour was? Brad Hardy, the 1985 Brownlow medalist. So, and John Todd just lived around the corner. Hilton Park was a very productive suburb in those years. So you had Graham Wood and Brad Hardy living house to house. They were neighbours and still very good friends. Amazing, really. Look at 86, 87, the first one. Mike Valletta, he mentioned it, 262. Jeff Marsh, son of Mitch and Sean, made 86. Tom Moody, 97. Woody himself coming at number 4, made 84. They made 654 in that first innings. The match was drawn. Vicks made 404. And then in 87-88, as we mentioned, dominated by Chris Matthews, who took 8 for. Terry Alderman, 6 for. They won by 5 wickets. And then in the final one, it was a good performance. Tom Moody, 162 in the first innings and 155 not out in the second innings, as Graham did mention. Finished on top in all those 3 years. And won it. Come and join us on the text line. I enjoyed the chat with Woody. 0487 736 736. 0487 736 736. We're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years. And Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers. Always think on the run when it comes to these programs. And where you were living, were you lucky enough maybe to live next door to a great sports person? Imagine that neighbourhood. Graham Wood living in one house, and next door is Brad Hardy. Not a bad couple of houses there, very talented. Did you live in a neighbourhood, or do you live in a neighbourhood where maybe your next door neighbour, or maybe the house after that, is the home of a great sports person? Give us your thoughts. 0487 736 736. Norman Cowell says, "G'day, Pete. I believe that WA cricket deserves the right to host England in the next Ashes tour in Australia. Maybe a warm-up four-day match. You think they can get off the direct flight from the UK in Perth, spend a couple of days with the families, getting their body clock right, and play their first tour match against WA without any of the Australian squad." I reckon they'll have to have a couple of warm-up matches. So let's hope that's the case. As we know these days, they tend to just fly in and get straight into a test match. Doesn't work for visiting sides. They should have a couple of warm-up games. And as we mentioned with Christina Matthews, when I had her as a special guest some weeks ago to celebrate her life as a CEO of the WACA, she did mention that Perth will be on the test match program for next season. We'll probably get the first test match, and it's about to be unveiled. And don't be surprised if we get the opening Ashes test match as well. And maybe, Norm, they do play a warm-up game over here. Luke says, "Pete, do you agree that the AFL must now give the AFL priority picks and West Coast shouldn't have to pick?" Yeah, I reckon they will. I reckon after this season, I think the West Coast Eagles may need a little bit of assistance. As I mentioned at the top of the program, I reckon this is going to be the season where they bottom out completely, and then they'll start to build. And I think, like, you know, a couple of the AFL clubs, they may need a priority pick. I reckon it could be on the radar, depending how the season pans out. Lisa: "Hi, Pete and team. Unfortunately for the Eagles, it's been a long road ahead. Their fitness, basic skills and turnovers are a huge problem." Agree, Lisa. They need to keep playing all the younger brigade. Harry Barnett needs to be given more games, and he shouldn't have been subbed off yesterday. That's my opinion. And as I mentioned, Lisa, at the top of the show, I think that is where the future lies. Get as many games into him as possible. I don't think you'll get any more than what we've already seen from the veteran class, because they are ageing. They are sore. Look at Jeremy McGovern yesterday. He was sore again, and I just feel with age comes those problems. Great to see Elliot Yeo up and going as well. So give us your thoughts on the text machine, 0487 736 736. After the break, I'm going to speak to Ashley Prescott, the coach of the Claremont Footy Club, as they prepare to open the waffle season with West Perth on Thursday night. I'm going to talk to him about Zach Mainwaring and how the young fella has bounced back after copping unsavoury comments in a preseason game. That's coming up next.